Hi, everyone, and welcome to our January podcast. My name is Carly Purcell. I am here with
Ryan Sheffer,
Derek Van Salkema.
And we're happy to have you.
Yeah, ready to rock ready into to 2026, rock. Huh?
2026, frigid 2026.
Yeah, for us here in the Midwest, you know, West Michigan especially, it has been brutal.
It's been
a brutal start to the year. My kids really didn't go to school much in January. It's not because we're bad parents. Just, you had different holidays in there. And then just the weather has been brutal. In fact, it took the polar vortex, man. Yeah, Derek last month, it was tough
missed
to get
the
in.
Yeah, right. Missed the podcast. Missed the podcast, Tom.
Anyway, any of you tuning in from a warm weather destination, just say a little bit of thanks there.
And kudos to you for being
here. Kudos to you for your life decisions.
Yes.
Well, and you had a dog, up with a surgery and stuff.
Yeah, beginning of the year, my dog tore her ACL.
Yeah.
So that's been fun.
And my household had a new puppy join us in December. So that's been fun trying to house train a dog in this type of environment. So anyway, don't check my personal decisions as professional decisions, right? That might not have been the best strategy. So anyway, but let's dive in.
Yeah, of course.
Yep. So
let's start with the market.
Market, you know what? The market started off, even with the frigid temperatures here in Michigan, the market started off on a warm note. The S&P 500, top 500 companies as weighted by market capitalization, so size. There's a couple nuances too, positive cash flows and things that the Standard & Poor's index creators bring into the fold there. But by and large, top 500 companies in the U.S. up 1.45% for the month of January. Pretty darn good. Bonds, we like to explore how the bond market did. Also, every month, the bond market, as measured by the aggregate bond index, so a basket of bonds, was up 0.11%. Rather flat. But still positive on both sides.
Positive. So more specifically, client portfolios.
They like it. They like the month. In fact, I will say this, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but most client portfolios have an element of other influences rather than just stocks and bonds. I mean, after all, that's diversification. But you look at right out of the gate, precious metals. Wow. And we'll get to that later. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But really, the month of January was quite robust. In fact, oftentimes I do this sanity check where you go, for the 1 month, what was the return for client portfolios? Then you annualize for 12 months, you go, whoa, okay, the market needs to pull back here. That's probably not realistic to expect that robust of a return every month into the future. So anyway, it was a good month. Come on.
Well, we carried a lot of momentum forward in 2025, and as we see the beginning of 2026, what kind of momentum or anticipated momentum could we see kind of carrying over?
Yeah. Well, so Derek, one of the things that we talked about last month was we were going to be making some changes into the, portfolio changes into the new year. So let's, before we dive in there, because this is going to all translate, but let's talk about, portfolio movement did take place in the month of January. Carly and I talked about, those trade confirmations and trying to work through them. So good. You needed that little primer because we did make some moves in portfolios. It wasn't a huge deviation from what was working through 2025. Therein lies the next topic here. But when you look at some of the things we do from time to time is evaluate, does this investment vehicle warrant a position in your portfolio? You have us here to make sure that the best of our abilities, we've got the best vehicles working for you. Sometimes we have to evaluate those. Is there a better way to get this exposure, that exposure? And you would want us to be doing that. So some of the movement that you saw in January was going after the same themes, going after the same influences in your portfolio, but just doing it maybe in a little bit different way. And that's how we create that edge or that alpha. So Derek, you're right. I think we're definitely going to see, think about what a new year is. It's one day. Right. It's a movement of a day. So, it's big, but really the market doesn't care much. A lot of the same themes and momentum that we had through 2025 would carry over into 2026, and that should be a good thing. Because after all, there was a lot of stuff that worked in 2025 if you were in the right places. So, you know, when you think about like a stable financial environment, you know, the banking system is robust right now. You know, we're seeing a lot of good things in that banking world. So the stability of financial conditions is people can get loans if they need them. Corporate America's financials are robust. You know, balance sheets are strong. That's a wonderful thing that kind of that momentum is coming into the new year. You know, inflation is continuing to ease. Yet again, that allows interest rates to kind of, you know, find a range and not be so volatile. And that's a really positive sign for risk-seeking endeavors and things. So as much as there's some stuff that will change into 2026, and we're going to talk about some of that here today even, but I think you're carrying a lot of good momentum coming over, a lot of health coming over. And that health that would come over from 2025 opens up new opportunities that we can, I don't want to say aggressively pursue, but confidently pursue.
Right. And I think one of those themes that has kind of carried over from 2025 is in that commodity space. You know, I think in January, we saw quite the gold and silver bonanza.
I like the word. I like the choice.
You want to kind of walk us through kind of the month of January and what happened in that space?
Yeah. Can we get a definition of bonanza? But I get it. That's great.
Gold. How about the roller coaster ride?
Yeah. You know? I mean, it was a wild move to the upside. And guess what? We didn't have to chase that one. You were there. By and large, and most part, you know, aside from maybe a few of you, like we had the exposure working. And why would you have precious metals in your portfolio? And there's a difference between what we'll call base materials and base metals and then precious metals. And the commodities complex really did have a nice, robust move higher. But let's just unpack what was in the headlines, gold and silver. Okay, so what happened there? The prices went crazy to the upside. I would say that some of that, though, is a catch-up trade. And I've been doing this a long time, you know, 20 years with Advanced Capital, let's say. And one of the things that is interesting, but I see it play out time and time again, the precious metal investor has periods of just going, darn, am I doing the right thing? And then, oh, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. And then, darn, am I doing the right thing? So there are these moments in time where the ferocity of the move in precious metals, it'll grab the headlines, no doubt about it. But I think there was kind of a catch-up trade here, mm-hmm. right? So if you look at some of the other things that you could have been doing with your money for, say, the last 3 years, gold and silver really weren't one of the best until recently. And so it's that hurry-up catch-up to a degree. And what would have prompted that? Well, remember this. You know, gold is a yellow, shiny metal, and we've allocated a value to it. Okay. And what's that value? Well, it's kind of like how many dollars would it take to buy an ounce of gold? Well, imagine if we go create a bunch of dollars and now there's a more from an abundant standpoint of dollars. All of a sudden, we need more dollars to buy that ounce of gold. We need more dollars to buy that ounce of silver. But really, maybe it's more a function of then, it's not like we found a new use for gold, not like we found a new use for silver. Now, some of you might argue with me because of battery technology and stuff, whatever. Let's talk about just in general terms, material terms. Mm-hmm. Nothing changed much except the dollar got weaker, right? Why would the dollar get weaker? Because we've been printing a lot of it. Well, Congress has really continued that momentum along the way here. And I think that it became a point too where we've challenged a lot of global trade relations. Let's face it, the Trump administration has challenged a lot of that paradigm. We're not here to argue whether good or bad. It doesn't matter what your perspective is on it, but it's changed. So not only do you have a weakening dollar, but you have maybe just a different global trade arena that you're playing in, and that changes the whole paradigm. So now maybe a trade partner that we've had a relationship for many, many years has looked at it one way, and then we change it all, and then they look at the strength of the dollar, and then they start to say, well, what else is out there? Well, if you go just start to treasury assets in a different country's currency, well, you bring on different problems. Gold is that tier one asset class that is not tied to a political regime, a country regime, but it is a store of value. And when you look at what is a little bit unique and different about this run in precious metals, is it truly has been a run for not the futures contracts, not paper, but the actual physical metal. So anyway, happy to be there, happy that clients have been able to move up with that. We'll keep our eye on it because, you know, I think that that's what's going on right now. But you could argue that, you know, gold often front runs challenging environments globally. You know, it's kind of your hedge against everything going wrong. And look at the headlines around the world. They would lead into opportunity for something to go wrong. So we'll monitor. But
well, kind of switching gears to more monetary policy, right? We've seen in January, President Trump nominated Kevin Warsh to be the next Fed chair. You know, what can you tell us about him from a high level? What would be some of the expectations that we would see play out if he does end up getting through the nomination process?
Honestly, there were, from my perspective, there were three reasonable candidates for that nomination, and I wouldn't have expected it to be Kevin Warsh. But, you know, the Trump administration is up against a couple factors, one of those factors being whoever they nominate has to get through the Senate and be a logical, you know, smooth move through the Senate. And if it's somebody who's too close to an organization or somebody who is perceived as a yes person, they might not make it through that Senate confirmation. So Kevin Warsh was probably the best bet in that relationship. You know, he's already served as a board governor, actually back through the great financial crisis, you know, so go back to that 2008 era. I believe, and don't quote me on this, but I believe his term as a governor was like from 2004 into 2016, something like that. So, I mean, he had experience in a really challenging time. So not only could he, could you kind of prove that there's maybe a separation between the Trump administration and Kevin Warsh, also he's been there, done that. But he's, historically speaking, he's been what's called a supply side economist. So what they're thinking about is smaller government kind of stimulating through acts of Congress. So deregulation, cutting taxes, things like that, and less Fed, you know, I don't want to say interference, but less Fed injection involvement. And where does that come in? Well, it's, through, it's called quantitative easing. You might have seen this, heard about this over the years, but quantitative easing or QE is essentially this. General public, you have bonds out there. I'm the Federal Reserve. Give me your bond and I'm going to give you cash. Now go do something with that cash. Oh, you have a bond too. Give me that bond. Here's cash. So it's increasing the Fed's balance sheet and injecting cash out into the economy, theoretically making economic movement easier, more effortless and stimulative. But the issue is, it is a big government movement. It's Fed movement. The idea would be it really only hits the elite, those who are owning assets, owning stocks. And if you're tuning in today, you're probably part of that class. You benefit when the Fed just makes it easy. The problem is there's a lot of people without a portfolio who are struggling with high rent, high food, affordability that just doesn't work. And so that QE only exacerbates that problem in theory. So if you reduce the QE and stimulate through kind of that supply side, it, you know, generally speaking, you would be allowing Main Street to participate, make it a little bit easier. So, but the issue is it will be a total deviation from the trend that we have seen play out. So I don't want to get too deep into the weeds with it because there's still a lot that has to play out. And quite frankly, we might have a different person as the true Fed chair after Jerome Powell. Just because there's a nomination doesn't mean it's a foregone conclusion.
True.
Okay. Well, just to also touch on potentially, I don't want to say a housekeeping, but just a friendly reminder, now that tax season is coming upon us, we have had quite an uptick in phone calls regarding phishing emails, or what we're assuming are phishing emails, meaning predatory emails, fraudulent. Quite a few people are getting emails about hurry, rush, free money regarding your taxes.
Well, so Carly, that's awesome. And well done bringing that up because you're always at risk. I mean, it is crazy what big business identity theft is. Oof. It's sickening, quite frankly. But we are on the front lines of it. We are on the front lines of it. Carly is certainly on the front lines of it. So we always see these, and is it mainly emails or is it phone calls? What are clients talking to you about?
It's both, but I would say email over phone.
Okay.
Just a reminder to be very cautious. In my mind, most of them are fraudulent.
When they're saying you've either won something or do something.
Yeah, if they're rushing you to do something for them, provide something to them, always be hesitant.
Well, and the IRS isn't going to send you a text message either,
yeah,
right? So if you're getting text messages from the IRS or a government entity, 99.9, maybe even 100% of it's going to be fraud.
Right.
So don't click on those links.
Well, call us. That's the beauty of it. Just give us a phone call if you feel like it's something that would have originated with us, or if you just want our perspective on it. And we have a militant IT team that could pursue any threat that you would be perceiving out there, and try, we could try and get you some information on it. So just don't hesitate to call. And then, Carly, you're talking about tax season. I know some of you celebrate that. I don't necessarily, but I know some of you do. What are we thinking? I mean, obviously that it opens the door for fraud, so be careful.
Correct.
What are our clients looking for tax-wise?
Yeah, so uptick in phone calls regarding tax forms, 1099s. Early January, mid-January, you should receive 1099s for any retirement accounts.
1099-R.
1099-R. Yep. Yep. Depending on how you're set up, you may receive one in the mail. It might just be online on the Schwab website. Call and we can give you that information.
Yep.
Another reminder, 1099 div or consolidated, if you have any accounts that are not retirement accounts, do take longer. You will not see those till mid-February, late February.
You want to know why that is?
Why is that?
Because back in, I think it was 2012, another one of these things, don't hold me to it. The IRS required custodians and brokerages to keep cost basis information for non-IRA accounts. And for that, they gave these different entities a whole extra month to send out their tax form. So I know it can get a little frustrating, but that's why.
Yeah, so unfortunately, if you don't have it yet, there's a reason.
No.
It will be coming to you. Maybe make those tax appointments more like early March rather than early February.
Right. And that's for those who are really celebrating and trying to.
Yeah. I mean, I also like getting money back. I owed last year, so.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. There you go.
Wow.
It's not always fun. Spin the wheel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. And to that end, I mean, we're happy to help you think about your tax landscape and think about what you should be withholding to get that tax outcome that you want. So anyway.
Well, as we kind of look ahead and close down the podcast for the month, you know, you don't know this, but I want to put you on the spot. It's January. We're sitting just below 7,000 on the S&P 500. You got any predictions for us for a year-end number? Always like to put them on the spot a little bit.
Yeah.
Have a little fun here.
I think that it's probably somewhere we would have touched 7,700 on the S&P 500, but whatever.
It's about a 10% move forward.
You
right?
So put me on the spot.
But that doesn't market mean, average, you know?
Well, how do we get there?
Yeah.
How do we get there is the question. You know, it could be a big overshoot to the upside and settle in. But, you know, I'd like to be able to prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
That's right.
Anyway, but that's kind of where I'm at. But look it, we carry a lot of good stuff over from 2025. And I think that some of the stuff we have coming down the pike, we need to see how it firms up. But it's something that you can be confident in. And I think that there's an abundance of opportunities that we have yet to see play out that we are on the doorstep of. And so, you know, we'll maneuver the portfolio as needed. We'll continue to communicate with you through a number of different channels. But I think we can be confident in 2026. And guess what? If things change, conditions change, we are like water. We will adapt and we will execute for you.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, good job. We'll see you next month.
Sounds good. Advanced Capital Management Incorporated is a registered investment advisor. Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up to date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Tax and estate planning information should not be construed as formal legal or tax advice. Always consult an attorney or tax professional regarding your specific legal or tax situation. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next month.